All right, get ready because today we're going deep on a case from Colorado, and it's all about protecting those really valuable assets, you know, trade secrets, the things that make businesses stand out. And, you know, Colorado, it has its own unique approach to non-compete agreements, right? They're not exactly common unless you meet very specific conditions.
Yeah, that's right. In Colorado, the law really leans towards making sure employees can easily move between jobs and keeping things fair for everyone.
I see. So it levels the playing field. So this case, it's Saturn Systems, Inc. versus Militare. And it's almost like a how-to guide for businesses. It shows them how they can protect their confidential information, even when you're in a state that's known for being very pro-employee. So we're talking about this debt collection agency. They're going after a former employee, Delbert Militare, because he allegedly wasn't careful with their trade secrets. This case has it all. Huh. We're talking password-protected client databases. We're talking about snooping around after termination. And it even gets into this legal debate about whether a non-solicitation clause was actually a sneaky way to try to prevent competition.
Yeah. And the really interesting part here is how the court analyzed the situation. They had to figure out, was this non-solicitation agreement really there to protect legitimate trade secrets? Or was it just disguised as something else? Like, you know, was it a hidden non-compete agreement dressed up to look innocent? Because we know Colorado courts, they don't really like those non-compete agreements. They get a bit suspicious.
Okay, so let's break this down so our listeners can really follow along. We've got Militare. He signs this contract with Saturn.
Yeah.
And it has both a confidentiality clause and a non-solicitation clause. So what were the details of that non-solicitation clause?
Well, the clause was pretty specific, actually. It lasted for 1 year. It only applied within Colorado, and it only applied to clients that Militare had actually worked with while he was at Saturn. Oh. So on the surface, it sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? But the court, they had to dig a little deeper to understand the real intention. Was it truly about protecting those trade secrets, or was it just a way to stop Militare from leaving Saturn and becoming a direct competitor?
And now, this is where things get even more interesting. So Militare, he decides to access Saturn's client portal, which, by the way, was password protected. But here's the thing. He did this after he was already let go from the company. Pretty bold move, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And then, get this, just a couple months later, he's out there pitching his services to Premier Credit Union. And guess what? They were a Saturn client. I bet there were some surprised faces in that courtroom.
You're absolutely right about that. That definitely raised some red flags. You know, it made people wonder, how did he get this inside information about Premier? Saturn argued that he was using their confidential client info to get ahead unfairly. So the court had to step in, put on their detective hats, and figure out if this non-solicitation agreement was actually legal and fair.
So what happened? Who did the court side with, Saturn or Militare?
Well, the court decided to use a two-part test. First, they needed to determine if that restriction, the non-solicitation clause, was truly necessary for protecting actual trade secrets. And second, they looked at whether the terms of that restriction, you know, the one-year time frame and that it only applied in Colorado, were those reasonable or did they go too far? Were they being overly restrictive? Basically, they wanted to make sure Saturn wasn't just trying to bully their way into preventing any competition. They had to have solid proof that the agreement was really about those valuable secrets.
So what was the final verdict?
The court ended up ruling in favor of Saturn on both counts.
Wow, really? Even though Militare got that information after he was already gone from the company?
Yeah. And this is a really important point for everyone listening. The court decided that the client database belonging to Saturn was a legitimate trade secret. Why? Because it was password protected. It gave them a real advantage in the debt collection industry. And building that database, it took a lot of time and effort. This case really sets a precedent for what courts will actually consider to be valuable confidential information, the kind of information that deserves protection.
So even though he technically wasn't an employee anymore, going into that client portal was still a big no-no, according to the court.
Exactly. And remember how we were talking about Colorado and how they're really careful about anything that looks like a non-compete? Well, the court actually liked that the non-solicitation clause was very specific. It wasn't just a blanket ban on him working in the entire industry. It just restricted him from contacting specific clients for a limited time. Very targeted. And that's important because it shows how crucial it is to be precise and detailed in these agreements, not to overreach. You want to show that there's a real need to protect secrets, not just a desire to crush your competition.
Okay, so Saturn wins. What about Militare? What happens to him? What are the consequences for his actions?
Well, here's the interesting part. The court did award damages to Saturn, but here's the catch. They based those damages only on how much it cost Saturn to investigate what Militaire did. They didn't even make Saturn prove that he actually shared the information with competitors or tried to steal clients.
Wow, that's a big deal. So just looking at confidential information after you leave a company, even if you don't use it, could still get you in trouble.
That's exactly the message this case sends out, loud and clear. And it's a big win for companies who are trying to protect their sensitive data. Imagine if you're running a business, this case is like having a legal shield to protect you from former employees who might be tempted to snoop around after they've left.
That's fascinating. But how does this apply to someone like me or anyone who isn't a lawyer? What's the takeaway for the average person?
Well, it really shows how important it is to know what actually is considered a trade secret, especially if you're working for a company and they handle confidential stuff. You got to be in the know, right? What's protected and what isn't?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's go back to this idea of trade secrets.
Yeah.
Legally speaking, what actually is a trade secret? You know, our listeners might be wondering, what actually counts as one?
That's a really good question. And to be honest, the definition can be a little bit vague sometimes. But generally speaking, a trade secret, it's any information that gives a business a competitive advantage, right? And it's something that isn't widely known within the industry. So it could be a formula, a process, a specific design, a list of customers, heck, even a marketing strategy. All of that could be considered a trade secret.
So we're not just talking about super secret formulas that are locked away like we see in the movies.
Nope, not at all. It can be any information that a company has taken real steps to keep secret, you know, because it gives them an edge in the market. Think of it this way. If your competitor would love to get their hands on it, it's probably a trade secret.
Okay, that makes sense. So back to the Saturn case. Their client database was considered a trade secret because it gave them an edge in the debt collection world. And they used passwords to protect it, right?
Exactly. And it wasn't just the data itself. It was how Saturn organized it and used it. You know, how they targeted potential clients and managed their whole collection process. That's what made them special. That's what gave them the advantage over everyone else.
Okay, so what can companies do to protect their trade secrets? What lessons can we take away from what Saturn did?
Well, first things first, they've got to figure out what information is truly valuable, you know, what needs to be kept confidential. Once they figure that out, then it's time to take some real steps to keep it hidden. We're talking passwords, limiting who has access to it, and having very clear written policies about keeping things confidential. Think of it like you're building a fortress around your most valuable stuff.
So it's not just about technology then. It's about making sure everyone in the company understands and values confidentiality.
You got it. Employees need to know what information is confidential and why it's so important to protect it. Everyone needs to be on the same page and take responsibility.
And what about contracts? We've been talking about those as non-solicitation agreements. Are there other types of agreements that companies could use to protect their trade secrets?
Oh, definitely. You'll see a lot of companies use those confidentiality agreements, sometimes called NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. And those are used to prevent employees and contractors from sharing that confidential info. And in some cases, they can also use non-compete agreements. Although, as we talked about before, Colorado law is really strict about those. They're only allowed in very specific situations.
So you're saying NDAs are a good idea for any business, no matter how big or small?
Well, it's definitely something to think about, especially if you're dealing with sensitive information. But each situation is unique, right? It's always smart to talk to a lawyer. They can help you figure out what type of agreement is the best fit for your specific needs.
That's a good point. Better safe than sorry, right? Especially when you're talking about protecting your whole business.
I couldn't agree more. And remember, even if you have all the right agreements, you have to actually enforce them. It's got to be consistent. You know, if someone violates a confidentiality agreement, you can't just ignore it. You got to take action. Show them that you're serious about protecting those secrets. Otherwise, those agreements, they're just words on a page. They don't mean anything.
So it's not just about having that document. It's about following through, taking action.
Exactly. It's about creating an environment where everyone respects confidential information. And everyone knows there are real consequences if they break that trust.
This has been so insightful. It's amazing how much we can learn from just one case, like Saturn versus Militaire.
I agree. It's definitely a case that keeps giving us valuable lessons for both businesses and individuals.
Okay, so we've talked about what trade secrets are, how to protect them, and all the legal battles that can happen when they're misused. But let's zoom out a bit and look at the bigger picture. This case really shows us the challenges we face in this digital age. You know, information is so easy to access and share. What are your thoughts on how this case reflects the changing landscape of trade secrets and competition in this increasingly digital world we live in?
That's a really interesting question, and it's becoming more and more relevant as technology keeps advancing so quickly. I think this case shows us that those traditional lines we used to draw around trade secrets, they're becoming more and more blurred in the digital space.
How so?
Well, think back to the way things used to be. Trade secrets were often physical things, like a secret formula locked in a safe, or blueprints kept under lock and key. But nowadays, a lot of trade secrets, they're not physical. They're algorithms, customer data, software code. It all exists electronically. It's a whole new game.
So it's way easier to steal information now.
Well, steal might not always be the right word, but it's definitely easier to copy, share, or even just accidentally disclose information in this digital world. And that creates a whole new set of challenges for companies that are trying to keep their confidential stuff secret.
And for the courts who are trying to enforce those protections too, right?
Exactly. This case, it shows us that the courts are having to adapt to this digital age. They're starting to recognize that just looking at confidential information online can be enough to be considered misappropriation, even if you don't physically take anything.
It's like saying, just because you didn't break into a bank doesn't mean you didn't commit a crime if you hack into their system and steal money.
That's a great analogy. And it really highlights how important it is to update our laws, you know, to keep up with how fast technology is changing.
It makes you wonder what the future holds. What new challenges will businesses and courts face as technology continues to develop at such a crazy speed?
It's tough to say for sure, but one thing is certain. The law is going to have to keep evolving. It's going to have to address these unique challenges we face in protecting trade secrets in the digital world.
This brings up another interesting thought for me. As we become more and more reliant on technology and data, do you think we'll need to expand the very definition of a trade secret?
Oh, that's a good point. I think as we move forward, the definition of a trade secret will probably become more flexible and dynamic. What counts as a trade secret in one industry or at one point in time might not be enough in another.
So it's not just a fixed concept then?
Not at all. It's always changing. And it'll need to be revisited and redefined as technology and business practices keep changing as well.
Makes sense. It's all about adapting and evolving, just like everything else in this digital age.
Exactly. And that's why cases like Saturn versus Militaire are so important. They give us a glimpse into how courts are grappling with these tough questions and how the law is adapting to these challenges we face in the digital age.
This conversation has been so thought-provoking. I feel like I have a much better understanding of trade secrets now, non-solicitation agreements, and really the whole legal landscape surrounding this confidential information. But before we wrap up, there's one more thing I want to talk about.
Sure. What's on your mind?
We spent a lot of time talking about the legal side of trade secrets, but I'm curious about the ethics too. What do you think about the ethical implications of protecting these trade secrets, especially when we live in a world where information is shared so easily?
That's a really important point. It's not just about what's legal. It's also about what's right. And I think it's a delicate balancing act. We've got to protect a company's right to protect its business interests. But at the same time, we have to respect the rights of individuals to use their knowledge and skills to build their careers.
So it's not a simple black and white issue.
No, not at all. There are a lot of gray areas. And I think companies need to be aware of the ethical implications of what they do, not just the legal ones.
Do you have any advice for companies on how to handle these ethical considerations?
I think transparency is key. Be upfront with your employees. Let them know what information is confidential and explain why it's so important to protect it. Don't just tell them the rules. Help them understand the reasons behind them.
So it's about building trust, creating a culture where people want to do the right thing.
Exactly. It's about creating a workplace where everyone understands the importance of protecting trade secrets, not just because they're forced to, but because they believe it's the right thing to do. It's about having integrity in business.
I think that's a great point to leave our listeners with.
I agree. It's a reminder that business ethics are just as important as following the law.
You know, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about this case and how it might affect someone like me, someone who's not, you know, starting a business or dealing with top secret formulas. Does any of this apply to the average person's job?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Most of us work with some kind of information that's sensitive, even if it's not like a patented invention or something.
Right.
It could be client lists, internal strategy documents, financial data. stuff that our companies definitely wouldn't want getting out.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. Like, if I forwarded a confidential email from work to my personal account so I could finish it up later, that could technically be a problem.
Potentially, yeah. It depends on your company's specific policies and what kind of information it is. This case really shows us how important it is to pay attention to those boundaries, to understand what your employer considers confidential. It's like knowing the rules of the road before you start driving.
Right, right. So it's not just about avoiding like blatant corporate espionage. It's about being respectful of those boundaries, even in those everyday situations.
Exactly. And it really highlights how important it is for all of us to protect sensitive information. It's not just for our employers, it's for our own professional reputations too.
That's a good point. It's about building trust and showing you're professional, something we can all work on no matter what our job is.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, on the flip side, if you're ever in a situation where you think confidential information isn't being handled the right way, don't be afraid to say something. It's always better to speak up than to, you know, be part of a potential problem.
It's true. It's true. You know, listening to all this, it strikes me that this case isn't just about the law. It's almost like a warning for everyone in the digital age. It's so easy to click, share, download, whatever. But we need to be aware of what could happen because of those actions.
Yeah.
Legally and ethically.
That's a really insightful point. It reminds us that with all the convenience and speed of technology, we have a bigger responsibility to use it wisely and ethically, of course.
Well said. So to wrap it all up, what's the most important thing our listeners should take away from this? What's the one thing they should remember from this deep dive into Saturn versus military?
If I had to sum it up, it would be this. In today's world, information is power, and protecting that information is absolutely essential. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO or just starting out. Understanding trade secrets, confidentiality agreements, and handling data responsibly is key for success and for being ethical.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This has been a really eye-opening discussion. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
It's been my pleasure. I always enjoy these deep dives, and I hope our listeners got a lot out of it as well.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a new way of looking at trade secrets, non-solicitation agreements, and how we can protect business interests while still having fair competition in this digital world. Until next time, keep learning, stay informed, and keep exploring.